This is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Well, hey there, leaders. This is Chris Brown, and I am your host of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. This podcast is here for the sole purpose to encourage you, to equip you, and to empower you, the church leader, to win in ministry, to win at the community aspect, to win at the discipleship aspect, the evangelism aspect, the culture aspect, and to stay healthy in the process. I know that really sounds overwhelming to say all those aspects, but that's really what our desire is, to partner with you and to help equip you and empower you. So hope you are encouraged. I pray we're helping you with this by simply sitting down with some of the most respected church leaders around the world and asking them questions about a specific area that they specialize in. And those of you that have been with the Leadership Momentum Podcast for quite some time, you know exactly the drill, and just trying to catch the rest of you up to speed. Well, today is no exception. In this episode, we speak with Dino Rizzo, the Executive Director of the Association of Related Churches. And what we're talking about is what is working in the ARC network, which is about everything. And they're in a season of intense momentum. So we're diving in to see what can we learn from. There are some things that we need to be doing more frequently, and maybe some things that we need to stop doing, and some things that we need to start doing again. Maybe some things that you used to do that you don't do anymore. Well, hopefully this discussion inspires you to make those adjustments in your context, in your role, in your church or organization. It looks different for all of us. But the good news is that much that we're going to talk about, if not everything we talk about, doesn't cost a lot of money. It doesn't cost heaps of money. So no matter how small your church is, there's no excuses. All of us can participate. To give you some background on my friend, Pastor Dino Rizzo, he serves as the executive director of the ARC, Association of Related Churches, which is an organization he co-founded, which has planted hundreds of churches across the country. And he's also the author of the book Servolution, and serves as an associate pastor at Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. Dino and his wife, Delin, have three incredible children. So that's a little bit about him. Now, let's hear some ministry advice from him. Dino, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, my man. I really appreciate it. Chris, just love you guys and love what you guys do and help so many people, and I think that's what it's all about.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, you just recently came off of Serve Day 2017, and I followed it very closely through my church and then also followed it very closely digitally through social media. And it really is like it's just a flat out movement. And I know you're a big part of its initial days, the whole idea behind it. And so I just wanted to chat with you about the whole opportunity of community engagement. And before we get into all that, just give us an update on ARC in general. I know you guys are always doing a ton of stuff, and I feel like every week you guys are launching another church in another part of the country or another part of the world. And so give us an update on ARC and everything you guys are doing. We'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, it's exciting times. You know, we live in a world right now that, you know, just continues to need hope and healing and help. And so what a better way than continue to plant great churches, like some of the great churches that are existing, just come alongside of other great churches and communities, launching another church to reach people. We've been doing that for 16 years. That was the heartbeat of our founder, Billy Hornsby, when he just sat down with a few of us a long time ago and said, hey, what would it look like if we could pull our resources together and help some other guys get started and maybe not have to go through what we went through? Maybe we could train them and help coach them and then give them funding where they could get out of the gate a little stronger and get some altitude and launch large. And so that's what we started 16 years ago, and here we are now with over 670 churches. We're getting ready to go into a great season where we'll plant 80 churches before the end of the year. This year is our largest church plant year ever, 2017. We'll plant goodness, right at about 130 churches this year. And so it's just neat to see when God gives a couple a dream in the heart to go into a city, to reach people, to love people, to care for people, to build a great church, to care for the poor, and reach out to hurting people, and be there for families and blended families and single parents. And so it's an exciting thing to be a part of and to watch it these last 16 years.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the marketplace, when you think about small businesses, it's something like a 90% failure rate. When it comes to church planning, it's probably very similar to that. I don't know the exact number, but I think it's right around that 90% number of failure rate. However, what you guys have found is that you have like a somewhere around a 90%, maybe as much as 96% success rate. You'd mentioned training. What is it that you guys are doing that's working that everyone else can learn from?
Well, it would be just like a small business or anybody who's starting an endeavor. You got to do your homework. You got to know the climate, the atmosphere, the customer base. You got to know what kind of shelf space you have as a leader, whether it's business or church. And so we do all we can to work with that couple to make sure they've assessed where they're going. They understand what's happening in that community. Have you cracked the code? Do you know the demographics? Do you know the dynamics of that city, of that urban area, that small city, that rural area, whatever it is? And so we just spend a lot, we have a lot of conversations, we ask a lot of questions, and then we pair them with someone who has planted a church in the last couple of years who has done well, and that maybe is even in that area or in that same type of flavor of church that they're planting, where they're getting some answers and they're able to have somebody that's kind of in live time also. Maybe they're in a theater, maybe they're renting a school, maybe they started in an urban area where they're having to use multiple locations. So they're being coached well. I think we're assessing well. And then we're doing everything we can to get them to a good launch day. Mm-hmm. They got a good team. They got good resources. They got a good plan. They've worked their calendar well. They've gotten in there and sown into the community. They understand the spiritual dynamics of that city and the churches that are there and the needs that are there and the pain that is there. And you just start strong and do all you can to just start reaching people and then connecting people to the vision and values of the church. So I think it's just trying to be as intentional as possible in those early days.
Well, I just thought, you know, to get you on the line and not talk about everything that ARC is doing would be a tragedy. So I wanted to provide that update for all of our listeners who are maybe on the sideline watching ARC and everything God's doing through you all. So thank you all for all that hard work and how you're inspiring so many of us around the country. When it comes to the serve day you guys just had, I mean, tell us everything that happened. I watched it digitally. I'm watching, you know, I'm going through all the hashtags and just seeing what everything was happening all around the country. Tell us a little bit about it. And then I really want to dive into a community involvement discussion, not just for lead pastors. I don't want to just talk to lead pastors, but man, maybe you're leading a campus. What is the opportunity at hand for a campus pastor or a ministry leader when it comes to community involvement? So just tell us all about Serve Day 2017 and we'll go from there.
Yeah, it was a great year. I mean, we've been doing this from the early days of Church of the Highlands, where I serve now, and even before that, when my wife and I planted a church down in Louisiana, Healing Place Church, and our heartbeat then was to be outreach-driven. And so we did serve days and serve weeks and love weeks and hope weeks, and ended up being a term called Servolution that we used, and a book came out of that, and some cool conversations of just really highlighting the organic heart that someone has to make a difference for the cause of Christ in their city in practical, tangible ways. That's what it boils down to. And so to see it this year, and so Church of the Highlands on their side, a church of 16 campuses, has just been amazing to see the small groups and the college groups and the different anchor projects that come out of the campus, whether it's at a nursing home or it's partnering with maybe another church that's walking through some things that they need a refreshing on their facility. It's building a wheelchair ramp. It's doing neighborhood parties. Spent a lot of time sprucing up and putting a good coat of paint on a lot of schools around the state. And then to see it spread. And so the last couple of years, we've asked other churches to come and be a part. And so in the first year was 100-something. Last year was about 300. This year it was over 400 churches participated on that day. And it's just amazing where you see the ideas that people come up with and the creativity around caring for their community, engaging their city, trying to find little pockets and little streams in their city of needs and people maybe that have been forgotten or areas that are in a different zip code than I've been raised in or I've lived in that may have a different problem or a different pain, trying to figure out a way to go and reach those children at risk or be there for those families or be there for those senior adults or maybe solve a problem in a neighborhood where there's a park that's overgrown or needs to be cleaned up or needs to be repaired. I mean, even the projects that we saw across the country and literally where people went in and remodeled homes, a little quick remodel of a home in a day. Families got cars. Single parents were given school supplies for their kids. We partnered with soup kitchens and homeless shelters and battered women programs and human trafficking organizations and orphanages and the Alabama Children's Home and just on and on. I could talk about all the different partners that you're able to come alongside of and bring resources, whether that's financial resources or manpower or, you put 100 college students on a campus where they bring kids in the summer, maybe special needs kids or autistic kids that they need to sprucing up or they need the landscaping done or they need, the gyms painted. A lot of college kids can get things done. And so it just was amazing to see the serve reach out throughout the world.
That's so powerful. You got so many great examples and such great experience. I think it might be good to maybe share if you've got a couple best practices on how, let's say somebody's doing a serve day all by themselves, not part of a big movement, not part of 400 other churches, but they're just doing a serve day by themselves, their church. What are some best practices to make sure, maybe it's a serving Saturday, for that to really go well?
Yeah. That's some of the best things are those organic small groups, one person. I know one of our heartbeats has always been to resource. So we on our website, serveday.today, there's 1,000 ideas on there because every serve day we do, we just bank and put this catalog of ideas. And I'll tell you one of the ones I thought was so creative. I've never seen this done before. One of our young adults here who's a photographer wanted to use his gift. So he went to the nursing home and provided portraits for the nursing home residents, which some of them had not taken portraits since college when their family was young. And it was the best thing ever to see these wonderful senior adults pose for these portraits.
And glamour then, shots.
He was able to. Oh, it was a glamour shot. It was so amazing. It's the most beautiful smiles, the most wonderful people, and every portrait has a story and has a family, and you could feel the love. You could feel that. Hey, I thought about this. I noticed you. I cared about that. I think about some of the other ideas that took place where the partnership with maybe communities that have been at risk, where there's challenging times for students that are not in school right now, and they're so many kids are on a feeding program at school, a lunch program, and then we're able to provide them food for the summer. It's actually a church that provided food for the whole month of July for any student that needed food, and they set up a way that they could come by and get food from their church. So that was just not a one day. That's a culture. We have a saying around here that serve day is every day. Every day you can notice somebody. Every day you can be aware. One church I thought had a great idea. They gave a hygiene pack with some non-perishable foods. Put it in your car, even though it's hot during summer. All this that's in this hygiene pack, this hope pack they called it, can endure the heat. And when you see people at a red light that are there, they need food or they need money, give them this. It's hygiene materials. There's some non-perishable food. There's an encouraging pamphlet in there. He said, because one of the worst things is being at a red light. You don't want to make eye contact. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. You don't know their situation. You don't have change. You don't have a dollar. But yet you have a heart of generosity. Mm-hmm. You have a heart of compassion. You want to do something. And so the pastor told me, said, Dina, we're going to make this available year-round now. And just have a little cart in our foyer. People leave. If they want to pick up a hope pack, they can have it in their car. And then maybe 2 weeks later, they'll need another one. And it's just great ideas about trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what it is, whether you're a college student, a business leader, a single mom, a senior adult, a high school student, whether you're a small group leader or you're on a worship team or you're on a team of a church, you're the senior pastor. It's just looking for opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah, I love that. And that's such good ideas, because I think a lot of times when people think of serve day, they automatically think mulching and I think raking and I think fixing the gutters. And there's so many things, even if you're not wired that way, there's so many things that we can do. Let's say there's a larger church that is listening in and they are expecting, let's just say they do a serving Saturday and a couple hundred people come out and they meet in the lobby or they meet in the fellowship hall or something like that. What are some things, some keys to making sure that you know, when everyone shows up, that's a momentous occasion, that it's a, what's some keys to some vision casting or creating the right environment?
Yeah.
I've been to some of those things and they've just been unorganized or they've just been like, who's in charge? Like, what are some keys to making sure a Serve Saturday starts off the right way?
Yeah, it's good. We've been through all those things. I've been a part of all that from A to Z, and everybody's heart's right, and everybody's wanting to make a difference. But what we do and what I find happening around the country that makes sense is, you know, you always break it down into smaller groups. And so if we're expecting, on we call it a first Saturday serve, you know, if there's going to be 150 people out, then we're going to have 10 projects. We're going to have 10 ideas. And normally there's somebody, I tell everybody, in every church, you know, if there's a church of 200, there's about 20 people that have an outreach gene, that outreach gift. About 10% of the body of Christ wakes up thinking about fixing bicycles for kids, about trying to get Bibles to China, trying to figure out how to solve the hunger situation. I mean, in impoverished areas, they just are born with it. And so as a pastor or as a leader or as someone who's wanting to have a heart for that organized, I'm going to try to find those people and I'm going to try to empower them and do everything I can to equip them so that they can help me create ideas. And we put it all together. We kind of do serve in a box where if you show up, hey, we need you to go to this neighborhood, to this home, and we're going to fix that bathroom floor. Hey, we need you here to go to this nursing home. You're going to go to this nursing home, and you're going to create a moment. You're going to paint nails of those that are there. You're going to sit around. Someone's going to play music, different things. So we do a little bit of homework. So we're going to break that crowd down into small groups, and then we'll probably have one anchor project where everybody can be a part. And we normally want to have more projects than we have the expectation of people. So if we're going to get together at our Birmingham Dream Center and do a first Saturday serve, we're going to have more projects planned than people are going to be there, because you don't want anybody to show up and not feel like they get to be a part of what God is doing. Because the reason why people show up is because they just want to make a difference.
That's right.
They want to give back. They want to, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so I feel like as a leader and as someone that is helping to organize the body of Christ, I want to do my logistic work on the front end so that experience. And the other thing, too, is we don't make them all day long. We're going to be there at 8 o'clock and we're going to be done at noon. We do things monthly. We don't do things weekly. A lot of people have a dream center. You can sustain those, but it takes a lot. It takes a big church, and a lot of people have that heart. So we just take baby steps. I encourage churches always to start somewhere, take baby steps, try things out. I mean, there's been a lot of outreaches I did that did not work, but we sure had fun doing them.
Yeah, well, obviously at Ramsey Solutions, we're into baby steps, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the person who's listening in, and they're thinking about, okay, we're either doing a lot of this or we're doing not enough, and my guess is that, you know, there's probably some folks who are like, you know what, we could do more of that. Cast some vision for us for how much it does for the actual people serving. You'd mentioned it's, you know, we're more blessed to give than to receive, and I think about Proverbs 11:25, it says, those who refresh others themselves are refreshed. Talk about this, what it does for the church. Not only what it does for the community, that's obvious.
Yeah.
But what it does for the church from a camaraderie standpoint, from an overall spirituality standpoint, from what it does to the culture. And then, you know, cast some vision into that team that's budgeting for this. Okay, they're thinking right now about next year's budget.
Yeah.
What would you tell them?
Well, I think it's a priority. I mean, on the budget side of things, you know, we've got to be a witness around the world. We've got to be a witness in those pockets that are in our heart to make a difference in the nations of the world. We need to do everything we can, I know, to help our nation, whether it's through planting churches or growing great churches. But then, you know, there's a call for us, and there's a responsibility and a mandate on us to make sure that we're tending to and we're caring and we're loving and we're giving and engaging our own community. And so that, I think God smiles upon that. I think it's just a must. It's, you know, we teach all of our church planters, hey, 10%, first 10% goes to missions, and you ought to split that up three ways: international, national, and your own city. Find out ways to be a blessing in your own city. And what it does for us individually is, you know, the fact of the matter is we're never more like Jesus than we are when we give and we sacrifice and we think about others. When we engage others, when I give my life away is when I find my life. You know, so often I have my own problems and my own stuff, and I can tell you the way out of my problems and my pain and my issue is not absorbing myself into it. But so often when I've put my shoulder up under the load of someone else's grief, suffering, struggle, it may not change my problem, but my problem no longer has the same perspective. And it gives me a perspective. I don't know how many times I've reached out to someone or paused or noticed or leaned into someone that maybe there's been an awareness that they're going through something, that something's happened in their life. They've got a husband who has cancer. They've got a child that's fighting an addiction. I mean, because think about the addiction epidemic today. That's across our nation right now. It is amazing the pain that's happening. There's not many families anymore that you run into that's not touched with the pain of addiction.
That's right.
And just being able to be there for that family, that person, we just are like Christ. It does something on the inside of our own life. And that's what I encourage people. I mean, I get to, like you, go into a lot of different churches and get to speak into some wonderful environments. And I normally have one message, that you will not find your life till you give your life away. Mm-hmm. And so much of the blessing and understanding and fulfillment is right outside our own comfort zone of engaging in someone else's situation. And we can't solve everybody's problem. We're not a savior to anybody. We're not anybody's healer, but we can help people. And so it's just what I encourage people, and I believe that's what is so important, is every outreach I've ever done, I thank God for what I've contributed. But I have always gotten more out of it than I've ever given at the end of the day. Always gotten way more out of it than I've ever given.
Yeah, that's good to hear, especially from you, you know, who've been through a lot of hard work when it comes to these kind of initiatives. So do you have Serving Day 2018 on the books yet? You know the date, so other churches can jump on board?
Yeah, the date for Serve Day 2018 is July the 14th. July the 14th, 2018. And so, again, the Serve Day .today is where people can get information, and there's just a lot of resources out there. There's some great churches that are out there making a difference like that, and giving hope weeks and love weeks, and what's cool, and I think you've probably seen this too, is it's becoming a culture thing at a church. And I think that's the heartbeat, culture and organic, where people walk out of a church and say, wow, the mission field is all around me. It's at my workplace, it's at my school campus, it's in my neighborhood, it's right across the aisle. And I want to do everything I can to be a blessing to people.
Yeah, of course. Now, do they have to be an ARC church to get involved?
Oh, no. It's a real open thing.
Okay.
And so we there's probably half of them ARC churches, GROW churches, denominational churches, independent churches. And some people register as a college group or as a ministry partner. And so we just want to do everything we can, whether that's the Servolution book or the website, even what stories we tell sometimes through different social media, the hashtags, is encouraging people, because there's 1,000 ideas out there about how to engage your community and how to come alongside of great things that are already happening there and finding a niche to help kind of solve some of the problems.
Well, I just love it when churches all come together. I think there's a lot of power in it and camaraderie. And of course, everyone's doing their little serve things, and it's great. But there's just power one day just coming in and just made a huge church imprint, biblical imprint, just kind of the whole earth can sense Jesus really in a tangible way in one day. I love that. Someone told me the other day, they said, you know, Chris, on any given day, there's about 500,000 homeless people not living in a dwelling on that particular night.
Wow.
And there's 400,000 churches. And so I'm just thinking, you know what? If we all were just one day say we're going to adopt one homeless person, and a couple of the bigger churches were to do too.
Sure.
Done. Homelessness gone.
Yeah.
Like, I just love the power of unity. And so that's the reason why I know you guys got this great movement going on. It's amazing. And I wanted to make sure that I did my part to make sure everyone knows they're invited. They're invited to join in on that. I want to encourage everyone to check out that hashtag, #ServeDay2017. Obviously, no spaces. ServeDay2017. I was inspired by it. And that's what fueled this conversation. And I contacted you and said, hey, we got to talk about this. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. So you wrote the book, Servolution, back in 2009. I think that's when it was first published. And and here we are, 8 years later. Now it's kind of started this movement. And it's been going on all along. But
even, you know, it's one of those things. And I think the way we structured the book, it has a little bit of a timeless feel to it, because it's really written to the outreach heart and to the person, whether they're a business leader, a parent, a student, to just get fired up about the revolution of serving and how, you know, it's all about the cause of Christ.
Well, good. I remember when I read it and it spurted inside of me, and I'm like, next thing I know, I was in a budget meeting pushing hard for us to double our budget. So
that's great.
I know it did that for me, and hopefully that gives another resource for folks. They're like, you know what? This 20-minute conversation with Dino wasn't enough. I want to know more. I want more, you know, some more. And hopefully this spurred on the conversation. So appreciate all you're doing.
Oh, thank you, man. Thanks for the opportunity. Love you guys and what you do, and follow you, and just are grateful for the role that you have in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is better because of what you guys do every day.
All right, I think the application and the call to action is pretty clear. For us all to take a look, take a long, hard look at how we're doing with community involvement. It's just like financial discipleship. It has ridiculously huge results and doesn't cost much money at all, if any, if you're doing it right. And with this, you know, philanthropic culture that we have, that we live in today, leverage it for everyone to pitch in and bring $20. Bring $20 to the next serving day, bring their rakes, bring their shovels, bring their tools, grab a t-shirt, and have fun while working hard for Jesus. We're seeing this now in Florida. We're seeing it in Houston, seeing it in Mexico. With obviously, you know, the recent tragedies, the church is rising up and there's tremendous results. Not only has the community experienced results, but the church. Check out this text I received from Pastor Matt Keller from Next Level Church in Fort Myers, Florida. Okay, this is after Hurricane Irma. He texts me this. This is one part of a longer text he sent me. It says, good afternoon, Chris. As you know, we have been in the middle of Hurricane Irma relief for the last week and a half. And all I can say is, wow. Now check this out. Here's the results. I had no idea how much our church needed a storm to knock us out of complacency. Did you hear that? And send us full throttle into the harvest field. It is no exaggeration that we have been able to impact tens of thousands of people in just 10 days. Y'all, he said, I had no idea how much our church needed a storm to knock us out of complacency, to get out of our comfort zone, to get out there and touch real pain. That's what he meant. Here's another text I received from one of Lakewood Church's senior leaders, Brandon Funk. He said, I think when something like this happens, that it doesn't change church culture, it magnifies it. Wow. What's already there will come out. I've seen love, unity, and generosity come out across our congregation and into the Houston community. I've seen over 2,000 volunteers respond within a week of the hurricane. I've seen donations stacked 20 to 30 feet high and cars lined up for blocks just to drop off a donation. I've seen staff work for 3 to 4 weeks in a row without asking for a day off, without a complaint. I've seen who we really are as a church family. Man, it magnifies it. Folks, if you want to know what your church culture is, get neck deep in ministry and hands-on ministry in the community, and you will see that your people that are right there, which are God's people, right there in the congregation, they will light up like the 4th of July if they just get involved in the community. That was a mic drop on both of those texts. Brandon Funk, a stewardship pastor at Lakewood Church, and Pastor Matt Keller, lead pastor of Next Level Church in Fort Myers, Florida. So there you have it, my friends. Free content and a free challenge. Yes, you've been challenged. It's what every true leader wants. They want to be challenged. I know you're no different. Hey, before you go, there's no secret that I am all about something called momentum. It's the reason why this podcast is called Leadership Momentum Podcast, because I really feel like you're not going to have full momentum as a church until everyone gets financially on the same page and everyone gets financially in a good position for their intentions, to be able to do things like a lot of community involvement and like a lot of generosity and attendance and all those kind of things. Before you go, I want you to hear from a few very well-known pastors that you will recognize talking about this huge opportunity that we have with momentum. Check this out. Hey, y'all. Chris here. I want to take just a second to update you on something that many of you have asked about, and it's something around here that we call momentum. Momentum is a church-wide plan to create a culture of biblical stewardship and generosity. God has been using it in a powerful way with over 1,000 churches now that have participated, and we asked several pastors to share their recent momentum experience. Here's what Pastor Todd Mullins had to say.
For years, we have been encouraging our church to put God first in the area of finances, but we had never given them the tools they needed to get in a place to obey God in this area. And Financial Peace University does that. It gives them the tools that they need.
It was absolutely phenomenal what Christ Fellowship saw God do. Their congregation had over a $28 million turnaround in their personal finances in just 90 days. You know, Momentum utilizes the Financial Peace University group for financial discipleship throughout the church. And our friends over at Seacoast Church experienced astonishing results as well. Here's what Pastor Josh Surratt said about their experience.
We had 7,740 people go through the class. They paid off an average of about $5,000 per person just in those 9 weeks.
It's amazing to me how many incredible leaders are helping their churches in this way. Large churches, small churches, churches in the West, churches out East, churches with lots of older people, and churches with a lot of young people. Here's what Pastor Craig Rochelle said about how this affects young people specifically.
It takes single adults who are hoping to get married one day, and it frees them from the bondage of taking debt into marriage. Ultimately, it strengthens the church.
That just fires me up. How many of you would have loved it if your church offered this when you were younger? Hey, I know you need much more detail than this. So here's all you have to do. If you want more information about Momentum and what it could do for your church, simply email me directly at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. A quick one-liner email. It doesn't have to be big and long. Just, we need to talk about Momentum. That's simple. I will personally follow up with you and talk through what this could look like at your church. You want to take your ministry team? That's fine too. I have no doubts it'll be a revolutionary time in your church, just like it was for President of the Southern Baptist Convention and Pastor Steve Gaines.
I encourage you to do everything you can to get your entire church behind this and watch the freedom that comes to them from being set free from the chains of debt.
All right, folks, we'll stay engaged by following on social media at Chris Brown On Air and hitting that beautiful subscribe button. That's another way that you can stay engaged. New episodes coming out all the time, and I don't want you to miss anything. Hey, while you're waiting for the next episode, be sure to check out previous episodes as well. They're all done in a way that they're timeless, and they're applicable no matter what the season is, the season in your ministry, wherever you're at, the season that you're in personally, they will be applicable to your life. So, folks, stay blessed, and let's continue to manage God's trusted influence, God's way, and for God's glory.
Thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. To learn more about Momentum, go to stewardshipcentral.org/solutions. Loved what you heard today and didn't want to miss another episode? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. While you're there, share your feedback by leaving a review. finally, stay up to date with Chris Brown, including his Life, Money, and Hope podcast on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram by following at Chris Brown on air. On behalf of your host, Chris Brown, and the team at Ramsey Solutions, thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast.